I'm going to do a little bit of a different text today. We will get into the scripture about halfway through. The reason we're going to do it different is because if I told you the text right now, it would ruin the text. And you'll understand what I mean at the end of that. So I'm going to do something totally different. We are in between preaching. We finished Galatians last week. We are going to preach Habakkuk when I get back, and then we'll be into some other stuff. And I'm going to, in the meantime, I was like, I've got 1 week, what am I going to do? I'll do a proverb. You know, I've learned a different way to preach proverbs. So I'm going to do that. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to read a story. I'm going to tell you the story, and then we'll look at the text afterwards, and we'll go into there. This text, as you will note, is 100% made up. It is absolutely fiction. It's not real. It didn't really happen, so don't be dismayed. So come with me. As we go back, transformed into a world where there are little men and women who live inside of traffic lights. This story is called The Butts in the Traffic Light. Having a green butt makes you a bit of a celebrity and a bit of an outcast. If you're going to work on traffic lights, green is the best color to have. Green, yellow, red. Red is on top. Green is king. Some sods say the order is red, green, yellow, but that makes no sense. No car waits for a yellow light. The yellow light is a transition to red. No, if you ask me, or anyone, green butts are the best butts to have in the traffic light industry. The only problem is no one wants to marry a green. Except, of course, other greens. But for some reason, green ladies are, how shall I put this delicately, dogs. Every last one of them. Have you ever driven through a green light that looked a bit burned out? That, my friends, is a female green. Ugh. So, us green chaps aren't so bad looking, though. At least I don't think so. Yes, it's hard to be the king of the traffic light. But we are everyone's favorite. No one likes the reds, and only the clinically insane seek the thrill of a yellow. Which, by the way, means don't enter the intersection, not speed up and endanger everyone's lives. I arrived at the morning shift just as some globbing idiot ran through the yellow, and I waited until the yellow moved away from his lens before approaching the green I was relieving from duty. Good morning, Gertie. How was traffic last night? I said. Slow as always, she began walking past me. I looked down the grate past the yellow to check on red. His posterior was still pressed firmly against the lens and glowing bright. Just then, Gertrude pinched me on the side. Have a great night, cutie. See what I mean? Red cleared his throat just as a waiting car honked its horn. Oh, sorry, I lit up my green derriere and backed into the glass. The car sped through the intersection. After 2 minutes, I looked down to the yellow just below me. Oh, great, I muttered. It was that guy. I couldn't remember his name, but we worked together for 4 or 5 years. Jan, or Yates, or York, or something like that. He looked up at me just as he lit up the glass and gave me a wave with his one hand. The one that wasn't busy picking his nose. Hi, Gerald, he said. I gave a polite half wave back. Oh, yes, hi. Jan, or Yates, or York, let's just call him Jan for argument's sake, turned his light off, and then red was up. The red on duty today was a good guy, Rex. Always calm, always on time, always did his job. And even though he was a red, I was a little envious of him. He'd married this beautiful yellow, and they had given birth to 4 rambunctious orange lights. Last I heard, they all worked on the same railroad crossing sign, and the whole family was happy. That lucky glob. I wished I could find a good-looking yellow to marry, but then the children would come out looking like some sort of sickly green. Kids' only hope would be to get a job at some 2-bit casino sign. Just then, Rex grunted again. Oh, sorry, Rex. Once again, I lit up and let the line of early commuters through. Toward the end of my 2-minute timer, I looked down to Jan, and his finger was all the way up his nose, past the second knuckle. Get ready down there. What? He said. I said get ready. He wiggled his finger around his nose a few more times, almost ignoring me. I looked at the timer. We were 5 seconds over. I could start to hear some grumbling from the other traffic light across the way. Good glob, man. Get your finger out of your nose and get that butt lit. Jan said. Hold on, I almost got it. Oh, for crying, get your finger out of your nose, Jan.
My name is Yorick.
Yorick? Yorick? Okay, whatever. Yorick, get your finger out of your nose.
Why? You don't even know my name.
Yeah, yes, I do. Yes, I do. I just misspoke.
He said, you work with someone for 8 years and they don't even bother to know your name.
Rex grunted below us. Car horns started to honk from the other direction, but Yorick still didn't light up.
Oh, and I suppose you know my name.
Gerald, he said.
Ah. Whatever, Yorick, get your finger out of your nose and light up so the other lane can get going.
Why?
Because it's your job, man! He lit up for a few seconds. Then Rex lit up after him. I timed everything just right and lit up without receiving another grunt from Rex. Yorick was also determined to get his timing right, but once Rex lit up again, Yorick said,
I mean, why should I stop picking my nose?
Why? Why? Because it's disgusting, man!
No, it isn't,
he said. Yes, it is. Of course it is. Everyone thinks that it is. Rex grunted and I lit up.
Do not judge me, Yorick said.
I will absolutely judge you. It is unsanitary, unsightly, and undignified for any employee of the Traffic Light Union. Yorick lit up, I think a bit too early, and said,
it's who I am.
Who you are? Rex lit up. Who you are, Yorick said.
Just like you have a green bottom, I have the desire to put my finger up my nose. It's in my DNA.
No, it isn't. No, it isn't. Look, you're picking your nose right now. Rex grunted for me to light up, but I ignored him.
I have an insatiable desire to pick my nose.
But that's a desire. Good glob, man. We all have desires we don't act on, I said. Rex started yelling, and I could hear some cars honking in the background. Yorick said,
it doesn't hurt you, so why do you care?
Because I have to look at it! He said,
Please stop trying to change who I am.
Gah! I don't care if you have an insatiable desire to pick your nose. You have to make a choice. You have to choose a hand. Then you have to choose a finger on that hand. Then choose a nostril. Then stick your chosen finger in your chosen nostril until you at last, unless of course you make a last minute switch, and then wiggle your finger around your nose. You have to make a choice. Choose not to. Just then I heard a truck go through the red light. Rex was still on. I snapped out of it and illuminated my lens, allowing traffic to continue on. I decided to stay on a little bit longer just to make up for lost time. Yorick said,
it's my turn now.
Just a moment longer. I want to let this line of traffic get shorter, I said.
No!
He shouted, and he lit up. He lit up his butt while I was still lit. No one ever does that. And then Rex lit up. He must not have seen that I was still lit. And Yorick was lit too, and the next thing I remember is a screeching sound, and the sound of metal grinding, smashing together. The intersection was shut down while the police and fire trucks arrived. Usually when this sort of thing happens, we were supposed to stay at our posts until the shift was over. I chose to sit in absolute silence. Even though the intersection was absolutely gridlocked, Yorick continued to diligently flash against the lens the whole time. Squeak, squeak, squeak. At the end of my shift, I saw Gertrude approaching the lens. Gertrude, I said, I didn't realize you were on second and third shift.
I'm not, she said. I just forgot my purse.
I looked at the coat hanger and saw a bedazzled bag hanging from the hook. Ah, so you have, I said. I glanced below quickly and saw Rex and Yorick still waiting for their replacements, just as mine brushed past me. I hurried out of there, but caught up with Gertrude. Hey, Gertie, wait up. Do you have a moment? Gertrude stopped.
I always have time for you, Buttercup.
She winked. Ugh. Have you worked with Yorick before?
Sure, lots of times. He's been here 8 years.
Ah, well, have you ever gotten into an argument with him that resulted in a 7-car pileup?
No, never.
So you are okay with the gold digging he does in his nostrils?
Of course not. It's disgusting.
Well, have you ever said anything?
On occasion.
Aha! I said. So you have argued with him before?
No, I haven't.
I don't know what it is, Gertie. Every time I work with him, it turns into this massive conflict.
You You have hate in your heart, Gerald.
She turned to walk away.
I ran in front of her.
No, 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 no. I don't hate him. It's just that what he does is disgusting and it bothers me. Gertrude looked at me straight in the eyes.
It bothers me too, Gerald. Listen. Hatred stirs up conflict. But love covers all offenses.
If you have your Bibles, open up to the book of Proverbs, chapter 10, verse 12. If you don't have a Bible, feel free to use one of your red chairback Bibles. It's on page 563. And as always, if you don't own a Bible and you like a Bible, feel free to take one of those red chairback Bibles home with you. Read it, put your name in it. It's our gift to you. We want you to get in the Word of God and the Word of God to get into you. Solomon wrote this. In chapter 10, verse 12, hatred stirs up conflicts, but love covers all offenses. And that's it. Proverbs are an interesting text. Proverbs are life distilled down to its most basic essence. Proverbs are like Florida oranges, right? You take a Florida orange and you squeeze all of the water out of it, and then you stick it into a frozen can, right? And you have the orange concentrate. Right? That's what a proverb is. It's you take all of life and it's squeezed down to its most essential core, and you have a proverb. Proverbs, the context is Solomon has either told these things or he's collected them, and he's teaching them to his son, or a teacher is teaching them to his or her student. And this is basic wisdom for life. And their context, we don't know 100% what it was, but the context of whatever this text was, you can imagine, is the son comes to Solomon or the student comes to the teacher and says, you know, I have this conflict with people. It's so hard, and I'm getting into conflict all the time. Maybe it's with their parents, maybe it's with their kids, maybe it's with their neighbors or their coworkers. And I don't understand why I'm having all this conflict all the time. And Solomon takes the student aside and says, hatred stirs up conflict, but love covers all offenses. He's telling him, do you have secret hatred in your heart? Is that what's causing the conflict? Because we disagree with people all the time, but it doesn't cause conflict. And then this person who came to Solomon, you know, they wherever they go, it seems like conflict follows. He says, is there hatred in your heart? Is there secret hatred in your heart? And do you have love in your heart? Because that'll cover a bunch of offenses. And now maybe it's just the other people who have the secret hatred. But I think more often than not, it's the hatred that we have to deal with in our own hearts. And so, the proverb, whatever the context was originally, it was a conversation that went something like that. Squeeze down a concentrate. You've all done the frozen concentrate before, right? That's the best way to drink orange juice. But what do, right? So you squeeze all of the water out of the orange, and then you just have concentrate. And then you take it and you add your own water, right? Florida keeps its water. You add your own water. That's kind of what I just did here with this text, is Solomon squeezed all of the water, so their context is lost to us. I read a short story that hopefully, you know, you saw some conflict and maybe a little bit of yourself in there. I don't know what color your butts are, and I don't need to know. But I put a story in there, and we could relate to that more than well, Hezekiah, his field, like we're not ancient Jews from hundreds of years ago. We're not. So I added my water, and now we understand. Okay, you know, we could see this. You've all had conflicts, haven't you? You absolutely have. You've had conflicts with your coworkers. You've had conflicts with your kids. You've had conflicts with your spouses. You've had conflicts within your church. We have conflict. And what does Solomon say? 10:12, hatred stirs up conflicts, but love covers all offenses. I tell you, I went through this, and as I'm praying through, how am I going to preach this? What is this doing? I said, okay, God, you know, what conflicts have I had in the last 10 years? Right? And I started writing down. So I'm writing these conflicts down that I've had over the last 10 years of my life. And I prayed the prayer that the psalmist said, God, search my heart and know me. Was there hatred in my heart in these conflicts? In church, I started writing down names. I think God the Holy Spirit was revealing to me
all sorts of names. And the length of that list is horrifying to me. Because I would have never, just like Gerald in the story, and someone's like, ah, well, you hate that person. No. I don't like them. What they're doing is disgusting. They bother me. It's just a disagreement. And as I'm praying through this, God's showing me, yeah, you have hatred in your heart for this person, for that person. Here's another one. And another. Hatred stirs up conflict. What's secret hatred? You have, by the way, there was no one in this church on that list, so we're all clear. But my challenge to you is to go through this week, ask God like the psalmist did, search my heart and know me. What hatreds do I have in my heart? What conflicts have happened in my life? And maybe some of the conflicts have been someone else's hatred. At least that helps you understand contextually what's going on. But what conflicts do I have, and how have I contributed to that? How have I had hate for a fellow human being? And then you say, well, love, and the other part of that is love covers all, he says all offenses, right? So, the person you had conflict with, just love them, right? We're done. Sermon's over. No. That's hard. That's impossible. How in the world can you show love to someone who's hurt you so deeply? You can't. But we know we're commanded to. Jesus said, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Ah, that's easy. No, it's not. It's hard. Scripture says, don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. You know, we look at what's happening over in North Carolina right now with racial tension, racial hatred. And you go, what's going on? You go to Facebook and everyone's got an answer. There is no answer. And everyone's like, oh, we got to do something. Oh, what are you going to do, right? Like, you go, pulverize them. Like, okay, well, that's not what Jesus said. What else are you going to do? Educate them, right? Like, educational safety. That doesn't. Yeah, education doesn't help. It's a condition of the human heart. That's why it starts here. Why we need to stop and say, God, search me and know me. What kind of hatreds do I have in my heart? What hatreds do I have in my heart towards people who look different than me? And let me be honest, we have a really unique challenge up here in northern Michigan, which is 96.8% Caucasian, right? And if you've lived here your whole life, and if you've grown up here your whole life, and you've only really seen largely white people, it's very easy to just think of anyone who looks a little bit different or is from a different ethnic background or different racial background and say, those people, right? And it turns into this weird ethnic hatred racism thing. And it's so bad, though, that none of us say, God, search my heart and know me, because you're like, well, that's so bad. Hitler was a racist, so I can't possibly be Hitler. I won't even ask God to search my heart to see if there's hatreds in my heart, right? We don't. In the quiet of our own rooms, we can say, God, search my heart and know me. And when he reveals maybe a people group you don't like, or a neighbor or a friend, or at times your spouse, or at times your children, or at times your parents, then you go, God, okay, I'm called to love them, but I don't feel like it. What do I do? It's where you go to Christ and say, Lord, help me to love. I can't do this on my own. Look at this text. There isn't just us in here. Jesus is in here too. Hatred stirs up conflicts, but love covers all offenses. This is exactly what Jesus did for us on the cross, isn't it? He covered up all of our offenses by loving us sacrificially, even to the point of death, a humiliating death on the cross, where he shed his blood for us, so that whoever believes can have eternal life. That's what Jesus did for us. It's how he loved us, and that's what he's calling. That's what Solomon is calling us to do. Love covers all offenses. It doesn't mean you're a doormat. It doesn't mean you willingly put yourself towards abuse, but we love sacrificially, and he says it covers all offenses. The little conflicts don't become big conflicts. They become no conflict because you love the other person and you're willing to bear with them. I mean, let's face it. At the end of the day, we're all kind of butts in the traffic light, aren't we? We really are. And someone calls us out on it, like, you got hate in your heart, Gerald. No, I don't have hate in my heart. You kidding me? I love everybody. That guy's a jerk, but he's just a jerk. I just don't like him. It's disgusting. He's despicable. He's awful. But I don't hate him. Like, well, then how are you defining hate? This is good basic wisdom. Jesus was able to do it, and you are not. And so we ask God the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, search my heart and know me. Reveal the hatreds I have in my heart for other individuals or people groups. Transform me. You have to do that, otherwise the hatred will continue to fester in your heart. Lord, help me to love people who don't deserve it, because that is exactly what he's done for you and me. While we were still sinners, while we were enemies of God, Christ died for us. Love covered all of our offenses. Hatred stirs up conflict. Love covers all offenses. Let's pray. Father, we have a heart condition, and our hearts are so terribly deceptive. We use euphemisms for hatred. I don't like them. They're not my favorite person. My kids are driving me nuts. My parents are the worst. But Lord, when we grind down to it, it's hatred. And it causes conflict. We know that you've commanded us to love all peoples at all times, and yet we fail at that so miserably, because I think we deceive ourselves into thinking that we don't really hate a person, that we don't want, that we don't want harm to come to them. Lord, I pray for us that with people who've made themselves our enemies, people who've made themselves enemies of this church, of this congregation, of our nation, Lord, you will help us to sacrificially share the love of Christ. And Lord, I pray that you'll search our hearts and know us, so that we can be transformed and love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us, to not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. We join together and we pray for our nation. And I pray that somehow through your divine providence, even the Orchard Church up here in northern Michigan, where the vast majority of people up here are Caucasian, you will even use this small church as a healing salve towards racial reconciliation, and that we might become a people and a church, not just the Orchard churches, but churches all around the world that represent the kingdom of heaven from every people, tribe, nation, and tongue. In Jesus Christ's name, we thank you, we pray. Amen.